Illy Trader Joe's.
Illy Trader Joe's.
Illy Trader Joe's by Vepr. Situation is back, baby.
Growing up is realizing how good Trader Joe's is and how you don't need a big ass supermarket.
Yeah.
That's very
that's
true.
Definitely
what,
part
that's
of
why
it.
I like Aldi too, because you save so much money, but there's so much less shit to buy.
Dude, Trader Joe's is the shit. Bro.
Shopping at Trader Joe's just makes me happy.
Yo, it does, bro. Right when you walk in, you're like,
I'm here.
I already feel healthy.
Yeah. I already made a good choice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter.
I already won.
I love when they have the free samples in the back.
Oh my god, yo, COVID really said no more free samples ever.
Damn. Yo.
Like,
no, that's
bro,
right.
Bro, you know, Costco is going to lose so much membership because everyone goes there for the free samples and to possibly buy a shed with your deli meats. Naturally.
Yeah, dude, because when are you not in a store and need a flat screen TV, a new two-door shed, and all the hands you can get your hands on.
A barrel of cheese balls.
Nah,
it's a one-stop shop.
It really is, dude. Shout out to, like, Costco, BJ's, all those, Sam's Club, RIP, kind of.
Dude, fuck Sam's Club, bro. If you are affiliated with Walmart, fuck yourself. Same with Whole Foods. You're owned by Amazon, fuck yourself.
Like I'm Bezos. Absolutely. All right, guys, welcome back to the situation.
You're.
It's Tom. Say your own name.
Zitch, bro. Zitch Vonner.
Zitch Vonner. Yeah, because he is one with the van.
I am one with the van. My entire adult identity is based around a van.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God. So, we got...
And then we got...
Mahark with us.
Mahark. That's two H's and four C's.
Obviously.
Mahark is going to be our fact checker. I feel like we're elevating, bro. We're doing Joe Rogan level shit right now.
Absolutely. He's actually playing Hearthstone right now, and he's not
shut,
helping
no, no one. You didn't need to say that.
It's
just the illusion that we're trying to pass.
I just wanted people to know how unhelpful Mark is being right now.
He's just playing Hearthstone, and that's it.
Bro, he's got the laptop for fact-checking and the PC for gaming, bro. Like, that's what I'm talking
about, bro.
I'm
straight vibing out here.
He's straight vibing hard, bro.
So he lives with us now.
Yeah, dude, I kind of want to just go put my beats on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Joe Rogan always has the headphones. Just to have. Just for the aesthetic.
Go ahead, bro.
I want people to see you.
Yeah, it's for me. You know what I mean?
I'm not trying to impress anybody else.
It's just to make me feel like this is serious. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm doing things. You know what I mean?
If we ran through my interface, we could have.
And then we got... Go say, dude. Introduce yourself.
And Dreesy's here, too.
Wow, so enthusiastic. I'm going to ask you to dial that down a couple notches. Man. Right. I'm not going to be able to keep that energy.
I'm excited to be here!
There you go. That sounds like a used car salesman. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. He said that, and then a wacky waving playable arm flailing two men popped up in my kitchen.
Buy my shit!
It was wild.
Oh my god, man. I was getting old.
Mark is now having a dance-off with the wacky waving playable arm flailing two men.
Mark is winning.
Mark's winning against the wacky waving playable arm flailing two men. The wacky waving playable arm flailing two men does not have the thickness to compete with Mark.
Mark is the thing. He gets down with
you guys. I feel a lot of our listeners know Mark, but for those who don't, Mark has like that Pixar mom dump truck. You know what I'm saying? like Mark has like the early Cartoon Network mom thickness.
Mark has like Dexter's mom, that shit crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Mark's got the ass from that fucking chick from The Robot.
See, that got weird. We're just saying thickness, and you're like, he's got the ass. And I just felt like he took a step and didn't need to.
So Dreesy's amazing. Back.
So Dreesy's back and making things weird as always.
Oh, yep. Man,
and then we got a new guest. No, seriously, I'm going to ask you, can you pop over here just for the direction of the microphone? Go ahead, pop your chair around. You can speak.
I think I have the setting on that.
He's like whispering and mouthing like,
for the people listening on audio, I had to move my wheelchair.
How else were they going to listen?
Where the fuck is the camera?
Do you listen on video?
For those who can't see us right now, I'm half naked in a wheelchair.
What kind of beer?
That's not a beer.
We are going to grab a beer now.
Thanks.
All right. Well, introduce yourself, please. We got Drew Marcosi.
Drucifer, a.k.a. Drew the Imp Marcosi.
Yeah, a.k.a. the epitome of scumbaggery.
A.K.A. I will never respect you if you are a woman, Marcos.
I knew that.
Shots fired right out the gate,
Mark,
bro.
I note that to cut.
Smart note to cut that.
Oh, no, man. No, no. We go raw. We go raw.
I do the cutting, and I am not cutting that out.
We go raw on this podcast.
I say whatever I want. So, yes. I get the final go ahead.
So, yes, it's true. I like beer, talking about shit.
And wasting women's time.
I'm often confident.
It's fine. He has sisters. That's how he tricks women thinking that he respects them.
Four
older sisters. I have four. Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, so I'm often confident, always wrong.
We are out of beer. This is a problem.
No, there's more in the fridge.
I literally just was in the fridge.
Yeah, you're so stupid, dude.
Is it in the fucking drawer?
You would literally be like, where's the hookah? It's right there. Like, he would ask me.
Where are my hands?
All right.
So big news, guys.
Yeah, big news. I think we got to go all the way back to June, right? And then work our way up to current. Right?
Is it June?
When he came here. We haven't done a podcast since Amin and Ben. So, big news, Mahark. Mahark with the thickness. Mark down with the thickness. Actually moved in with us.
I live here now.
Yeah, he does. Oh, he's so good. Imagine ad-libbing.
He's ad-libbing.
He's so good at ad-libbing.
He really is.
I live here now. Classic.
Classic Mahark thickness, man.
Yeah, so we moved him here. The big plan was Mark was out in Long Island. Mark, you mind if I tell the story?
Yeah, is that
cool?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So Mark was living out in Long Island, and he was a part of our other friend. We all wanted to get a house together, and he's currently on the job search. And me and Tom were like, you know what? You're not going to find a job in New Jersey and be able to establish yourself in New Jersey if you're living in Long Island. 100%. So, you know, we were like, bro, you know, we got all love for you. Just move in with us and let's go. Thinking it was, you know, we're going to house hunt, find jobs, all this stuff. And then, boom, what is that, like 3 weeks later? Tom, a.k.a. Thom, a.k.a. Pokemon Collector.
I forgot about that.
Do you forget about it? You have posters all over your walls.
You have so many Pokemon
like the podcast, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is still relevant. I'm like, oh, we haven't talked about this in like 3 months.
That's why I got to bring it back.
Fantastic.
So many Pokemon cards.
I think it was like 3 weeks later, Tom found a.k.a. Thom, a.k.a. Pokemon King.
I think it's Pokethom.
Pokethom.
Oh no, that's a thing now.
Tom, aka Thom, aka Pokethom. found a house on Zillow. The pictures were like kind of mad weird, but you know, they said that they would give us a tour, and me and Mark were like, all right, fine, we'll come look at it.
This is like the only one that actually would give us a tour.
Yeah, so we rolled through and we walked in the house, and we're like, well, we fucking want it, and we immediately put our application in. We just got approved. Landlord just signed the lease with all of us. Money's in. August situation moves to Bloomfield. You know what I mean?
Situation moves to Bloomfield. You heard it here first.
Yeah, so we're really excited. Really big house, beautiful house. So that's a lot of the good news that's going on here. Anything else we gotta catch them up on? Not that they care about our personal lives, but it's just like I like to flex when I can. To my three listeners, Ben, Joe, what's up?
That's too
annoying. One of the listeners we talked about, Joe, what's up? You're moving in with us.
Moving in with us. How excited are you? You know what I'm saying?
How excited are you?
Good for you. Wow, dude, he's moving in with us. Got a shout out on situations. All coming up for Joe 2020, bro.
Yeah, dude. Shout out, Joe.
Shout out, Joe. So I think we're all caught up, right?
Yeah, just about.
I think we're all good.
Cue the bleep.
Hey guys, it's Tom from The Situation, just here to tell you about the platform we're actually using to get this podcast out. It is called Anchor. It's creation tools that allow us to record and edit the podcast right from my phone, actually. And it actually distributes the podcast for us, so I have to do very little work for this. You make money with the podcast, which is what I'm currently trying to do. And it's everything you need to make in a podcast in one place. That was the last bullet point I just read. Anyway, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Get the Anchor app.
We're live.
After the post bleep.
Right now.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
We're shout out Bill O'Reilly. Right
post bleep. Post bleep. Post bleep world. So, all right, we covered all that. Dreese and Mark have both been guests on here. Mark is now resident and resident Zitcher.
Resident Zitcher slash fact checker.
Yes. Dreese, you've been on multiple times. So, I asked Drew to do a little research, come up with some topics. Get your fucking foot out of my face. Imagine what they think is going on. You know what I mean?
We're not describing.
Oh, how are they? What's going on? Are they doing a podcast while playing Twister? What
that
the fuck?
Cleaned my blood.
Yeah.
White foot, red. Drew, that's you.
No, but he.
That's
Drew,
yellow.
Shut up. It's to my understanding that you came up with some topics, man. So I think the floor is yours. And
no, the floor is lava.
Yeah. Oh, floor is lava. Fuck! I'm so mad that that's game show. Fuck them. All right, sorry, Drew. You had stuff.
That's a good show. It's a little corny,
but it's
no, interesting.
No, do not turn everyone's childhood game into fucking capitalistic consumer bullshit.
I will
just let it be the game.
Nothing. I will
just let it be children's imagination.
Like prime time ABC networking. You are garbage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Floor is lava. Are you serious? No, like, that's disgusting.
You're just running out of ideas. You go to a 3-year-old. Give us a game. Floor is lava. That's the next show. Fuck
you. Poor neighborhoods.
Well, okay.
We're funding this.
Yeah, so I think broadly what we want to talk about is the uncomfortable we feel about thinking about the things we eat, meat otherwise, and how we justify eating those things. And how, you know, I can respect my dog. Don't lock a dog in a fucking car, but it's fine for cows to be raised in close quarters and slaughtered all day. And this epiphany I had just came this time last summer when I went to the Maine Lobster Festival. And it was pretty interesting. You know, they have the largest lobster cooker there. And it cooks about like 25,000 pounds of lobsters.
Wait.
You went from 25,000.
You went from 25 pounds to 25,000 pounds.
You went from zero to like 25,000.
Well, definitely 25,000. I'm hard with numbers. But
no, it was probably 2.5.
Yeah, I'm just saying, K. I'll keep it K. 25K pounds in one cooker.
All right, well, we're going to have Mark go follow.
Lobster cooker?
Yeah.
Yes. Maine's largest lobster cooker.
But continue. He'll chime in with the actual facts.
Like, you know, there's all these tents. There's like about, I think all the people that bought tickets, the revenue was like 15K from people just buying tickets to go to this thing. And there's all these tents where you can get lobster bisque, lobster tail.
Wait. You're telling me.
Just on
every day. They can cook 25,000 pounds of lobster and they only walked away with 15,000.
No. 15 pounds of lobster in 15 minutes.
15 pounds?
15 pounds of lobster in 15
Okay,
minutes.
So a little off the mark with the 25,000.
Maybe
pounds.
It was for the whole thing.
Little bit. You were still in the vicinity, though. You still use numbers.
So I'm proud of you for that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the fact that that was a striking thing when I saw this big lobster cooker, and everyone's like, oh, look, we're going to cook all these lobsters at once. That's crazy. And then the contradiction I always brought up with you is like, what if we're in Texas? It's the fucking cow festival, and they just slaughtered the most cows. In one setting, like, that's weird. And then the other funny part is this is a big tourism part of Maine and everything like that. And when you're sitting under these tents in cafeteria style lines to get your lobster and sit next to stranger family and eat all this kind of lobsters and stuff, you're jowl to jowl with somebody, and the smells in those tents are by the end only partly food related, you know what I mean? it just gets worse. It's sweaty, it's hot. And then, like, all the steam from cooking them in those tents just stays in there.
That's the environment.
Yeah, and
I never realized that was the environment of being, like, very cafeteria-style-esque and really almost like, all right, you're only here for the food. You go, you get the food, you go and
not even the food, you are here for.
I would like to make
lobster.
A correction. I misread. That's a typical lobster cooker. The largest one can cook 1,600 pounds in 15 minutes.
Okay.
16K pounds.
1,600.
Oh, so 1.6K.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So not
right. Hey, yeah, you know what? It's a lot closer
and wait,
than
hold on.
15
the time
pounds.
Yeah.
Wait.
What's the time increment again?
A lot.
How many
15
minutes?
So within an hour, they've done almost friggin' 6,000 pounds. They've done over 6,000 pounds in an hour.
Yeah.
And you figure the festival's like
that's
all day
insane.
Thing.
Yeah, 3 days.
So... 3 days.
Yeah.
So, same example.
That's
8 hours.
One lobster cooker.
That's 48,000 pounds a day.
When you're there, you can literally get lobster any way you want: lobster bisque, lobster soup, lobster.
I don't
tail.
Understand how people are like, lobster's my favorite food. Have you eaten lobster? It's just
it's
tendony,
lint.
nothing.
The only thing that makes lobster good is drowning it in butter. We're all saying butter. If you like lobster, just drink the chances butter. Are you just like butter.
Just drink the butter.
Just drink the butter.
Leave the fucking lobsters out of the equation. Diabetes
and just move on with your life.
I think that's more heart disease. I don't know if that's diabetes.
I can say that because both my brother and my dad have diabetes. Shout out, but they don't get it from rats.
That's an insulin. That's a sugar problem. I don't know if that comes from
sugar problem.
No, because high cholesterol is heart disease.
Sugar problem. We all got a little bit of sugar problem, you know? Gummy worms.
Generic laugh.
Gummy worms. Fuck you.
Gummy worms. But yeah, talking about the butter thing, like the funniest part that people don't bring up, and it's often forgotten, and how they prepare lobster is like it is a really healthy seafood, like calorie wise and fat wise and intake wise. And then it all goes out the window as soon as you dunk it in some butter.
Yeah, it's like ordering a salad and dumping ranch dressing all over it. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm healthy. No, the fuck, you're not.
It's literally like a potato, dude. Like, potatoes are like prime. And then you're like, what do you put on it? Butter, salt, pepper, sour cream.
Bacon, cheese,
celery.
Yo, stuff. America puts fucking cheese on everything, bro. Yeah. Cheese and bacon.
But
that's it. Those are staples.
I'm not mad at it.
I'm mad to the point that like I cannot go to a different style. You know what I mean? I'm mad that I cannot always think about drowning shit in cheese. Now, am I happy I think about drowning shit? Yes. But I'm mad that I'm happy about thinking about drowning everything in cheese. You understand? It's a complex issue.
Mitch is just disappointed with himself. That's it.
Oh, every day. Every day. Every minute, every day.
All my principles contradict each other.
It's really bad. Drew, you're definitely right, man. And
that contradiction you're talking about, like, that's pretty much this argument why I want to talk about on the podcast. It's because, like, anthropology lies, and, like, I'm not an expert, but, you know, I read on Wikipedia for 5 minutes.
I think that's what qualifies experts these days.
They are arthropods, and they predate to the Jurassic period.
So we're eating dinosaurs.
What? Yeah, we're eating dinosaurs that have lasted forever, and they're carnivores and scavengers. So they'll eat wounded
and
fish.
And actually, lobsters don't age either.
Yeah.
Like, they do, they're, like, immortal. Like, they don't just die of old age.
So they need us. Well, they don't. But that's a way of looking
so
at it.
So technically, I could be eating a 90-year-old lobster.
Right? Yeah.
A 200-year-old lobster. Yeah. And it's just, it's fresh because it's still alive. That's wild because it doesn't age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lobsters are, like, basically immortal.
Because they must. Because they shed their shells. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get new life every time. Because molting season, when they come with a new shell, that's why in lobster eating, there's hard shell and soft shell. Soft shell is often more tender because it's the in-between. And when we get into it about how you actually cook a lobster, there's a lot more screaming involved in a soft shell because there's all the air in it from the water and then molting.
Yeah, well, I would feel like that'd be a very big just relation to you have almost like a suit of armor on you and you're getting boiled. You do not have that suit of armor, or you have like leather jackets and like leather pants and then you're getting thrown in boiled water. That's the kind
of relation. Both sound pretty bad.
Yeah. They both sound pretty bad, but at least in like the armor is kind of like, oh, the metal's getting hot. Oh, the metal's getting hot.
My flesh is getting hot.
Like you get in the leather jacket, you're like, oh my god, I'm dying. Like you immediately know.
No, man, it's really crazy too, man, because like I mean, we've known each other for a while. I was a vegetarian for 5 years, given I wasn't an amazing one for the entire five. You know,
except when you were drunk at 4 a.m.
Dude, when
and
I
you
was
someone had a cheesesteak, you know.
Dude, I'm fucking blacked out at 4 a.m. and Kevin rolls through with 100 McChickens. You think I'm not going to eat one? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. People have done worse things drunk. You know what I mean?
If that's the worst thing anyone does.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, all right, I fucked up with, like, my principles when I could barely form a sentence. I'm going to take that. You know what I mean? I didn't, like, you know.
Drive and hit somebody.
I didn't drive and hit somebody.
Wait, what?
That's the important, the end part is the important part. But, I was, I definitely tried my hardest with being a vegetarian. I would say I was probably a vegetarian for like 2 years, 2.5 years, and then I went to pescatarian, right? So I could kind of cheat with fish. I could eat fish in that
fish
way.
Fish is good, though.
Fish
I like
is great. Fish is good, but, like, it becomes weird where we start drawing the lines, right?
And
something that drove me to being a vegetarian in the first place, and something that's kind of pushing me back in that direction slowly, is, you know, it's the hypocrisy.
Yes.
Of not, right? Like you said with the cows, right? And I believe you brought up your dog too. That was probably the main reason that pushed me personally into vegetarianism in the first place. Is like, you know, I like, no exaggeration, I would hospitalize somebody if they hit my dog. I mean, hospitalize.
Like breathing out of a tube.
Yeah, but here I am pigging out on a burger, right? And it's scientifically proven that cows are more intelligent than dogs. Cows form friendships with each other that there is no benefit other than the emotional benefit of having a friend.
Yeah.
Right? They go through depression when they're separated from their friends. Pigs have the intelligence roughly of like a 4-year-old human child. You know what I mean? So when they go to these slaughterhouses and they want to do kosher, right? Kosher is they hang them up by the back legs and slit their throat. The pigs, they know what's going on, man. Yeah. And then you see those videos and hear the screams. And honestly, I think it's something I'm going to have to put myself through again.
You're going to have to go watch those videos.
I think I'm going to have to put myself through it again, you know, and hear the screams and stuff.
And I'm not here to, like, you know, preach or anything, but, like, you know, do it. Like, going to that and looking into this for the podcast, there's – and, you know, PETA does do some extreme things, but look up their video, Meet Your Meat.
Yeah.
And it is straight up what goes on in there. Like, with chickens, you know, when they're in those silos, they get de-beaked, especially the male ones, because in that environment, they're stressed out and they often peck each other to death. Mm-hmm. So they, like a guillotine-like mechanism, put their beaks and drop it. And you're talking about dogs and the intelligent life of cows and pigs. You know, the argument against how we cook lobster and why we should eat lobster is they're arthropods, they're sea insects.
Why we should or shouldn't eat lobster.
Why we should. Like, people who are the counter-argument is, well, they're insects. You know, they don't have a cerebral cortex. They don't experience things. And their only innate instinct is, you know, to just scavenge around and clean up and mate.
For the next bowl.
So, lobsters, because they're insects, think of them the giant, like, tick of the sea.
Yeah.
They get stepped on and people don't think they're anything. Like, when the pilgrims came over here in the 1800s. Well, that, just till recently.
Only recently. Originally.
The pilgrims, when they came to the shore, they were so plentiful in New England, you could catch them with your hands in shallow water because they would just wash up. And, like, I think it's something crazy, like, during lobster season, they used to consider
the cockroach of the sea.
Yeah, that's it. Or garbage men of the sea.
Yes,
with
that's
the
true.
Whole scab.
Yeah, they're bottle feeders, man. Yeah.
Exactly, just like tilapia.
Yeah, exactly. And,
flounder.
And,
I think you're thinking of flounder.
No, no, and tilapia. Tilapia's
yeah,
also a bottom. Yeah, no, tilapia's a really, really cheap fish.
Love,
it's a bottom feeder.
Love tilapia.
And
it's not bad. Colombian style tilapia is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than like tuna steak,
right?
Yeah, but flounder is like a don't eat too much of it.
It's
kind
gamey.
Of thing.
You gotta
it's
bread
it's
and fry
chewy
it.
And it's bland.
Well, that's why you got to do the right things.
Yeah, but that's like a rarity.
And the thing, and like going back to the difference of eating fish and lobster, before you get into like how you cook them, it's that you just cook it. You don't have to degut it. You're not catching it with a hook through its mouth. You're often luring it into a trap that you
or into
pull
like
up.
A cage.
And fun factoid, like they're often baited with like dead herring. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Dead herring or chicken.
Yeah,
yes.
Chicken.
Chicken's a big thing.
Chicken's a big thing for lobster and crabs.
Mm-hmm. And
can lobsters and crabs be caught in the same cage?
Sometimes,
essentially.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the difference is how long you drop the cage because, you know.
And
crabs,
your area of location and everything like that.
And, like, lobsters often want the darkest part because they don't really have eyes or a sense of smell, but they have tactile sense with their antennas and the hairs. It's like they have a soft skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you, like, when I saw that big boiler, you saw a bunch of lobsters trying to go to the darkest corner of that cooker because they don't want to see light. They're getting stressed out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And they're also being boiled alive.
And that's the biggest point is lobster, you know, got this new thing where it's a delicacy. It's the steak of the sea because it's the freshest. You catch it, you boil it, and then you eat from the chitin. You know what I mean? And
There's no killing involved. There's no, like, you need to preserve it for this amount of time. It's not like we go and we grab like
it's not like you're fishing for tuna. You hook it, you slit its throat, and throw it in the bucket, and then ice
you got it.
It,
and then you just have the thigh or like whatever the
exactly.
Neck
it's in. Like it's like you don't have the process of going through an outside vendor of going to kill the cow, cut the cow,
see, and that
and
that,
make it the different cuts. Going back to that contradiction, just straight.
Well,
here's
no,
my animal.
Here's a good example of the difference, because lobster is fresh because you boil it, like, you know, right then and there while it's still alive. I recently was bored. I watched on Netflix something called Battlefish. It was basically like Deadliest
Catch. Shout out Battlefish.
Yeah. It was basically Deadliest Catch, but for albacore tuna. And the way that tuna fishing is done is they sit out there for 3 freaking weeks.
Are those the big ones? Like,
yeah, the huge, like, 15, 20, 35-pound ones, not the huge, like, 80, 90-pound ones in the Gulf. Yeah, these things are huge, mind you. And the season only lasts like 2 or 3 months, but they catch 5, 6, 7,000 pounds, like 800 tuna, and then they take them down into a -20-degree freezer that's in the bottom of the ship, and they stay there for weeks until they come back to port. They thaw out, they get cut up and distributed still on ice. So you're technically eating a tuna that was probably killed 3 months before.
Yeah, and people are a lot more skeeved out, right? By
but they
eating
don't,
seafood. Like,
yeah,
people think
but they still think it. That's the thing, though. They still think it's fresh, regardless. I mean, there are some people that still fish it fresh and come back same day, but a lot of the albacore tuna stuff is straight up on ice for weeks at a time.
I would like to just nudge this conversation to a different direction, other than the freshness of these things and other things from the sea.
Yeah.
Like, can we start talking into the problems and how it branches into other things?
Yeah,
unless we're just going to have an educational course on lobster.
Nah,
for
this isn't Gourmet
episode.
Food Magazine, but I'll
tell
you.
Right, thank you. Like, can we start
that's
talking about
the
bigger pictures?
That's going to be the first magazine from Willow Grove Commodities.
That's the problem is, so people will say the counter argument to why you boil lobster alive, they're insects.
Shout out Willow Grove Commodities, Tom, aka Thom, aka Pokey Thoms,
for the brand
company. For the brand,
the brand is strong.
Brand is
Mitch
strong.
Is
okay.
The creative director of Willow Grove Commodities.
I am, and Tom is the executive producer of the situation.
So even if we hate each other, we're
nepotism.
Stuck with each other for life.
How do you mean if? I fucking hate you so much.
Yeah.
All right. So
here's
now,
to 50 years, Mitch.
So here's.
I'll fucking cheers to that,
yeah,
brother.
Man.
You know we ain't getting rid of each other.
So,
all right.
So why it's so fucked up, right? People say they're insects, so they don't have a central nervous system, which is how we interpret pain, right? And that's why you're allowed to boil them alive, and they're insects, they're fish, and it's fresh. That's the counter argument. There, it's not a slow, painful death of not being like shot with an air compressor like a cow. But
not a slow, painful death.
But
everything leading up to that is fucking
stressful
brutal,
and
the
painful.
Actual.
Yeah.
That's actually relatively quick.
And I would argue
the stress of anticipation is worse.
Dude,
all right.
Be easy with the hookah, please.
Fact check. Business Insider. And while lobsters react to sudden stimulus, like they're twitching their tails when placed in boiling water, the Institute suggests that they do not have complex brains that allow them to process.
I got a counter argument.
Like humans and other animals do.
See, that's
but,
the lie, though.
Yeah, Mark, here's... Here's just my, and again, I'm not a biologist.
Process light. That doesn't mean they don't feel pain at all.
Right. This is exactly it goes to me, bud. This is exactly my point, right?
Try to swipe the hook.
Is humans are extremely limited when it comes to knowledge, and it's something that we don't like to admit. Right now, mind you, we like to give ourselves credit for attaining more knowledge and collecting knowledge and advancing in the realm of knowledge more than other species.
But that's just because when you start at the bottom of the ladder, it's very easy to get up to the middle of the ladder.
Sure. But what I was trying to get to before that
anyway,
unnecessary
tangent,
comment
tangent, anyway.
was
everything
about shut up.
Is
humans can only understand through the human experience. Right? So I think it's interesting when you say, no, it can't feel pain. How do you understand? Maybe it doesn't have our nervous system, but that does not mean... Like, how do you think things survive without the concept of pain? Pain is damage. Pain is pain and danger. That's how you survive.
Yeah, correct.
That is how you know, don't go there.
Don't do that.
Like, you ever see the crabs and lobsters trying to jump out of the boiling pans?
Yeah. And that's
it's not because, you know what I mean? They're not in there like, oh, this is a bubbly ocean. No, they understand what is happening to a level that we cannot understand. But just because we don't understand it, we write it off and dismiss it. And they're like, doesn't matter. They don't have our brains. They can't feel pain. That's something that's just insane to me, is how
we just dismiss it.
How self-centered people are.
Yeah. And I think
it even comes through in the depiction of aliens. And I know this is a weird term, but I promise it correlates. But it's like, when we think of aliens, we don't think of them as anything. We think of them as a humanoid.
We think of them as a larger
humanoid,
head,
two legs, two arms, with eyes where our eyes would be.
It's a strange looking thing that's like us. And that's only because we can create something that we generally understand.
Right.
And when you have a case like this with the lobsters and the pain argument, it's something that we can't possibly understand because it's just a completely different makeup.
And I think that goes back to, I don't know who the philosopher is, you'll correct me, Mitch, but what's it like to be a bat? Like, you can understand them, you can dissect them and interpret what they go through, but you're not a bat and you'll never fully understand what it is to be a bat because they don't have eyes. They interpret sound completely
differently.
They
do have eyes.
They're
just blind,
though. Right. You know what I mean? But the way they interpret the world because of sound is completely different than how we would interpret it. But I would make the argument to that they don't feel pain, they're not complex, is the word preference, right? You prefer not to do something. When you go to put a lobster in a boiling pot of water, like you said, Mitch, oftentimes they'll put their claw over the rim like a man trying to save himself from falling off a roof. You know what I mean?
They're like, I don't want to go in here.
And if you've ever boiled a lobster alive and you're in that room when they're doing it, they're hitting the sides. They're freaking out.
Oh, they're trying to get away.
Most people take their, like, Jenny Craig fucking timer, kitchen timer, put it.
Get out of the room. It's a traumatic experience for a lot of people.
And I think
a lot of people don't experience that enough to understand how traumatic it is.
Because we don't want to think about it. That's what's uncomfortable. We're talking about philosophy, and that's why you just want to, I'll just eat the fucking food I eat. But
much easier to buy a chunk.
It happens to me a lot.
Or like
you get knocked in the head a lot.
Steak or some sort of prime rib at a food store.
Mild tendonitis.
Because
I've gotten that
takes
before.
Away that inherent guilt that a person has of consuming that product.
And it's
because you know it came from a living being. And as a person, you're not wired to have joy from killing another living thing.
Yeah. I would say on an 8 out of 10 scale, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that there are members of the species that do genuinely enjoy
there are things that I don't quite have to
the people who pay to go kill.
Right. No, I don't like black and white blanket statements.
I would say a majority,
absolutely. There was
people even.
Oh yeah.
Think about it. Private military contractors.
That's a different conversation.
That's a different conversation. But
don't do the side stuff on the situation.
Yeah, we're gonna just. It's just hard to hear or whatever.
But going back to the uncomfortability-ness, do you ever think about how it's funny, like, for, like, we have a different name for pig and swine pork. You know, we don't call it a baby cow. It's
chicken
veal.
Is poultry.
It's veal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
like,
how
when
we
hear
just
poultry,
let.
You're like, oh.
And then some people call, like, lambs lamb, but is that because it goes back to biblical times and, like, it's the lamb, you know what I mean? Like,
it's almost a delicacy in that sense because you're indulging in that religious attitude.
Now, do you mind if I take a step more into the philosophical realm?
Yeah, because that's what I think when we get into this conversation like we are, it has so many further implications that let's just be, you know, denial Americans. So, yeah.
Would you like to go before me, Tom? Oh, we have 5 minutes. Okay, before the next beep.
Bleep.
I don't know if it's going to be bleep. It's going to be like the weird, like...
Oh, do the techno poop sound or whatever.
Interlude.
This shit's awesome. we have to do it now. So, because they're going to be like, what does that mean? And then we have to play it so they know.
I know, man. You really trapped me in.
Yeah, I did. I finally got it to play. But I think something, and it was something that I came into a lot, because, like, I'm going to be, like, straight up, I'm currently a hypocrite, right? Because I am very much against the meat industry, but unfortunately, I caved. It's very difficult when you're in carnivorous environments to just not do it. You know what I mean? It's a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
And but there's something that I always came across is I never yeah, let me get one more pull. I never understood how human beings arose to this level that we feel that we can determine the value of all other life on this planet.
Like where the line is drawn.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's exactly what I said. So, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's kind of
like
we,
oh, cows, ah, here to eat. Like, what determines that? Like, who gave you that authority to determine the value of life in any form?
Yeah.
Right? I think it's like, it's such a broad thing, right? And I would have these conversations with a lot of people. And honestly, like, I am, like, very upset with myself because I'm still very passionate about it. But I kind of let myself jump off that path. But I would have these conversations with people that would be like, yeah, but it tastes good. You know what I mean? And it's like,
that's such a weak argument.
That's fine. That's fine. You know what feels really good? Going 150 in a car. Feels amazing. You know why you don't do it though? Because you'll probably fucking kill somebody.
Or yourself.
Right? You know what else feels really good? Fucking, I don't know, abusing substances. But you don't do it, right? Because that causes harm to yourself and it causes harm to people around you. There's a lot of things that are good, that feel good, that you like to do or would like to do, but you don't because of the collateral
damage
that is around. But it's something that is completely skipped over when it comes over to food sourcing, hunting, sport hunting, big game hunting, all that kind of like fucked up shit, right? And the thing is like, well, blah blah blah, whatever. Yeah, I got it. Blah blah blah, whatever. This that, and the other thing, and the thing is for me, if it is needed for survival, right? Like people up in Alaska, like they have to hunt, dude. They don't have a Walmart. Like you gotta hunt. You gotta kill that elk. You gotta kill that, and you store it, and that'll feed you for 3 months.
It's out of necessity.
Right? It's out of necessity. It's out of survival. What we do in America is consumerism. We just want packaged. You know, like even how many pounds of this stuff we just throw out because people didn't buy, but we continuously replenish the shelves because you know what sells? Full shelves.
Yeah.
Empty shelves do not sell. You have to have full shelves. So we just waste food. Because the consumer mindset is it looks good, I'm more likely to buy it if there's a lot of it.
And that's why everyone was freaking out at the beginning of quarantine when
toilet paper fucking blew off the shelf.
Oh, the world's ending. I see an empty shelf.
All right. But that's going to derail into a COVID conversation. No, I feel like we would like to – it's up to you if you want to go COVID.
All that is
gluttony.
No, yeah, it's gluttony, but
it's paranoia.
Consumerism.
It's consumerism.
Like Americans – base their meals around meat. Every meal is based around a meat.
And then
that you don't fucking need that, dude.
Yeah, no, dude. The base of every single meal is either chicken, pork, or beef.
And it's kind
of like everything. There's nothing else that's actually
fish, whatever.
It's some sort of meat.
Exactly. And
we eat similar to the Mongols, actually.
Well, sure, but
interesting.
Seriously,
okay. Mongols, bad people. So maybe there's a
correlation there. Hey.
That is not true. All right, fine.
Owning up to it.
Fun.
All right, no.
Have fun moving all your shit without my van because I do nothing.
Deal.
You haul, baby.
All my stuff in here.
I have a truck.
Break your arm.
My arm's still fucked up, apparently.
You get it? Alright.
You get it? No, no one gets it. They won't get it for it.
Do you know how many...
Oh, we're recording.
I work with...
Oh,
Mark, you can't ruin it like that, man. That's how you get natural conversation, by not letting people know they're being recorded. That's how you get the best material. Fucking demoted. Demoted. You're not even fact checker now. You're just computer boy. Computer man's.
Okay.
Computer man.
You're computer man's. You're IT.
Mark is. No, he's not. I'm IT too. Because he
doesn't. Oh, now you're IT now too.
Well,
he's
no, he
everything.
Does nothing for the situation. He's just here. He's just a computer boy.
Computer man's.
Dreesy has more station than you now.
Not true. That is not true. Never say that.
Dreesy, while you're up, grab a beer.
You already have one.
Nope, it's done.
Could you grab me my Dr. Pepper, though, and a glass? Let's start sipping into this rum, you know what I'm saying?
That I'm not mean.
No, I'm saying sa-dude. Like, sa-dude.
All right, Drew.
So,
let's
does anyone remember where I left off?
You were talking about, I think, because we...
Simp culture.
Yeah.
No, we were not. That was in between takes.
If everyone was a simp to lobsters, they'd be a lot better. Nah, I mean, like, you were talking about the hypocrisy. Like, who are we that we're mightier than thou? And we determine
right.
life is... unrealistic.
Yeah, we kind of gave ourselves a god status, and the only one we have to answer to is someone that's
smarter
not currently around.
Create.
Whether you know faith, what have you, is not the one. Only God can judge me. It's like, but he's not here to do it. So I feel like that's
we have
almost
no
like
faith.
A disconnect, right? Yeah, like yeah. I like oh, only this person that I've never seen before. Whatever can judge me. No one else can. Not I can't even hold myself personally accountable.
Do you know if any other animal can experience paranoia?
Yeah, I mean, it's stress. Yeah, stress. Yeah,
it's stress.
Paranoia.
I would say most prey animals experience paranoia. Absolutely.
The only reason why I ask that is because,
like, do you ever see a rabbit? And
yeah,
you like, and you just
out.
Like move. He's like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Oh,
it's because
okay.
he thinks he's being hunted. That's
yeah,
prey
yeah.
animals. They live in paranoia, bro.
All right, because the only reason why I was asking about that is maybe because we're just like the best prey animal that just decided to be.
We are, yeah, we are the prey animal that jumped to the quote unquote head of the food.
That is what I'm trying
rocks.
To make the point of.
We can make weapons with rocks.
It's because like the people that are like the creatures that are on top of their game are like. The lions, the big cats, things
apex
like
predators.
Apex
bears.
Predators
yeah. like literally born and through evolution perfectly equipped
yes.
to hone and hunt in their environment.
Yes, but then when it carries over to humans, we have this unnecessary paranoia.
Well, you want to know why? It's actually it's actually a really
okay.
interesting fact.
Please
if
don't.
You look into the evolution of Homo sapiens sapien.
I'm listening.
In about a period of about 100 to 200,000 years, very short when it comes to evolution.
Absolutely.
We went from bottom of the food chain, prey and scavengers, to the top. We did it
how?
In, the development of tools, our sociability, our rapid spread,
dropping
hunting
a rock
methods.
On someone's head.
Yeah, hunting methods, tools,
yeah.
spears, strategy, socialization, all of that. But like, I always strongly disagree that humans are apex. To me,
oh, yeah.
apex predators are you are born with the tools you need to be equipped.
Yes.
Right? You take a gun away from a hunter and throw him out in the Alaskan wilderness, 9 times out of 10 he is prey.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, he's just open.
We are hot. We are ants if ants were bigger. You understand? Like we are hive swarming creatures. That piggyback off of all of our past, that's where we get our history is collected.
Yeah, yeah.
So our knowledge is almost exponential in that sense.
I see
so,
what you mean. It's like a parabola.
But we are not apex.
It's exponential growth of intelligence, but not necessarily.
No, not growth of intelligence. I would say exponential growth of access to information.
That's where you
and the ability
kind of,
to
yeah,
digest.
Yeah, because intelligence would You're saying that humans now are inherently more intelligent than they were, say, 100 years ago, which I would have to disagree with.
You think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
it does look like a 5-minute trailer of Idiocracy in the nation.
Dude, it really does. But we've been going down this path for a while. I really don't want
to
bring politics into this.
Absolutely.
But I would say that what we're talking about is that, like, why we're better. Oh, well, we have to survive it. You know, I eat this food because it tastes good. And what else am I going to do? Like, that same argument that you're just doing it because it tastes good and you're doing it to survive. The same thing with lobsters and all the other animals we eat. When you go to do something to them, they have the innate instinct to, you know, kill to survive. But we throw that aside when we go to try to eat them. Something that people do now when it's not boiling lobster, they think, all right, I'm just going to drive a knife between its, you know, sockets at the front, the stern, and just cut its head side to side.
Did you just refer to the front of the lobster as the stern?
Yeah.
Drew, that's the
rear.
That Yeah, first of all, that's
stem to stern. That's it.
Yeah, but isn't stern boat? That's nautical,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's
definitely
nautical.
Right, so I remember on the Voyage of the Mimi.
So if everyone knows what the pineal gland is and your third eye, essentially the method teaches that you're cutting the lobster at that point in its body, at which point it either dies or shuts down, and they think it's because, you know, there's this nerve ganglia there, but lobsters actually have them all over their body, and there's no proof that when you drive that knife in to that lobster that it's not going to feel anything or it dies. But some people feel like, I'm finally taking responsibility for what I'm about to do. Oh, you know what I mean? You're giving it more justice doing it that way. Or it goes back to what we're talking about. I'm a apex predator. I kill what I eat. And no, it's still defenseless.
Defenseless. You know what's really fucked up?
I think that's a weird thing. Just real quick before you get into your point. I think it's really weird that we call ourselves apex predators. And we can't look a cow in the eye when we go to eat its, like, baby.
Yeah,
meal.
how many people
you know what
that,
I mean?
That sit there and eat meat and be like, oh, you know what they do? Oh, I don't want to talk about it. How can you say that we are apex when you cannot even stomach the process to give you that meat?
That's exactly what
Because we are not meant for that, right? Like, I remember I saw this one video. It was somewhere in the Middle East, you could tell by the surrounding areas, desert, wardrobes, all this stuff. There was a
camera quality.
No, it was pretty good quality camera. But anyway, there was a guy, whether older brother or father, going and grabbed the chicken. He was about to kill the chicken, right, to eat. And his like son, probably 4 or 5 years old, you know, I would say four, ran up, like, no, took the chicken. Ran away with the chicken and threw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go. I don't want you to kill the chicken. We are not born with the instinct to take life.
No, we're not.
We are for the most part. And we are not born with the instinct of hate nor indifference to other life, right? When you're a kid, dude, you can fucking whisper. Stop with the sign language shit. Are you fucking serious?
Where's the rum?
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Mark,
dude.
Mark's drinking all the rum. Regina, if you're listening, Mark's
rum is for burning, not drinking.
God, dude. Yo, put a hat on him. He looks like Captain Morgan. I swear to God, with that beautiful mane.
Dude, what he's got going on right now? Yeah, dog.
Where's that straw hat?
Where is the straw hat? Where's
Captain Morgan
hat,
because
dude?
You're so thick.
Thick with two C's.
No, but it's learned traits. It's societal pushed traits and behavior.
Yeah, it's
and
taught.
It's taught.
Why is it taught? Because there's money in it, right? And there's something, I forget what my original point was going to be, but it's fine. I'll move on to another one. It's something else we want to talk about too: the environmental impact.
Yes.
Of
what we do, how we cage
factory
up.
Farming,
yeah.
And everything like that.
The methane, like, it's funny, like, it's a shit
joke.
The
methane box.
The methane,
yeah.
Literally is destroying the ozone, and that's why. Like, and I didn't preface the podcast when I started, but like, I do eat a lot of meat. But I'm one of those people who personally thinks if I can cut down my meat intake to 3 times a month or maybe 2 times a week.
Right, that's a step in that right direction.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
I might not be vegetarian or vegan, but in the grand scheme of things, my impact on my carbon footprint will go down. And, you know, it's, you know, the fact that we're doing all this, going back to our point that mammalia is, we're the higher being, mightier than thou. But, again, going back to lobsters, they predate us. And what makes us have the right, this thing fucking survived the world after
right?
the meteor, and we're like, yeah, this is,
and we're like, fuck, I'm throwing them in a boiling pot.
This is the steak
fuck
of the sea.
I'm gonna eat this.
It's funny that it's a delicacy, you know, the steak of the sea, but go to your local chain restaurant, there's surf and turf, steak and lobster.
Hey, Chili's is known for their surf and turf. And then you get the shrimp on top. Fuck Chili's, are you kidding me? Fuck all that shit.
Yeah, Chili's, if you're listening, die.
Yeah, Chili's, if you are listening,
go fuck yourself.
I do not want a sponsorship from you. And you know what? Neither of Applebee's. Fuck Applebee's.
Yeah.
Applebee's is worse than Chili's.
Yeah, I think it's from the environment on that one, because at least Chili's, you can say that they're for us. All right.
I really hate how just chains and big corporate.
Well, that's why,
because you know what? It pushes that consumerism drive.
That,
which I feel ties into the issues that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, and like, their impact on the meat industry and stuff is far superior, because they got to buy all that and make sure it's going to taste the same with anyone microwaving it. And then, I hate to break it to you, Applebee's sucks. microwaving it, putting it on your dish, and then there you go.
If that is news to you, stop listening to my podcast.
And if you like your Applebee's, I'm sorry, but like they put so many landlocked locations that would have had a privately owned restaurant in business because it's your neighborhood restaurant. No, it's the chain that's everywhere. Yeah. And you get
It's everyone's neighborhood restaurant because you are fucking awful.
I also think to
poor mom and pop business.
And they don't even make good drinks.
Yeah.
They had to get their margaritas
Fuck Applebee's and their drinks. Let's just talk about for 1 second. Shout out to Lena's for being real.
No, actually. Yeah, if we have any listeners in the Passaic County, Morris County area.
Northern New Jersey, even.
Okay, all right, Northern New Jersey. Lena's Restaurante, right, is Main Street, Bloomingdale. I don't know the actual proper address, but you look it up. I mean, family-owned, absolutely wonderful people. Probably some of the best food I've ever had. And, you know, it's just a really welcoming environment. Hopefully we get to a point where we get a lot of listeners and we can actually bring traffic to Lena's. There's one goal of my podcast, it would be to bring Lena's business. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. You know what? I don't even want to do this for me anymore. I'm doing this for Lena.
This is for Lena.
Lena's restaurant has to be by far. It's basically like Italian mom cooking, and she treats you like she's like you're one of her kids. She feeds you and takes care of you.
She is the most wonderful woman. She's
absolutely amazing.
Okay, just for the listeners, me, Mark, Dreesy, and Mitch went all dinner together.
I wouldn't say that on there.
No, but I'm just gonna say that she came out and she spoke to us.
She sat down with us.
For like an hour, and she just was. It was like she was one of our best friends.
Yeah, she was talking to us about our lives. She was filling us in on her life, and her family's life, telling us about her son and how he's doing. You know, all
it was like
stuff.
Catching up with a friend.
It was
exactly.
Lena is a friend.
Lena's a friend. Absolutely.
If we'd advise you to like anyone in the world, it would be Lena.
If you take nothing away from these podcasts but this, it's Lena's.
Yeah. And Lena, as much as I love you, I am going to cut the commercial short. Drew, please go back to your point. That was a good segue, guys, but respectful to our new guest.
No, it's all good. I love Italian food.
If you're around tomorrow, you want to go grab Lena's?
Breakfast?
No, Can you not get dumb hammered tomorrow?
We'll figure it out. I'll work it out.
We can go to
I'll
Lena's.
Try to actually.
I would really like to have you because you're only up here tomorrow, right? Or you're Sunday as well.
I can be here for a little bit of Sunday. We'll see about
that. Oh, but Sunday, you think you can do like a lunch Sunday? Is Lena's open?
Lena's is open on Sunday. She's not open on Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. All right. So you want to shoot for a lunch on Sunday at Lena's?
Yeah.
I promise you, it's going to change your life.
Absolutely.
All right. Perfect. All right. Fantastic. Lena, love you. Lena's family, everybody, love you. Drew,
take it away.
Go back to your point.
And I think like the whole point of the, you know, animal ingestion and hypocrisy, I think lobsters is the most clear example on that, at least for me, brought an epiphany of the way they thrash when they're being boiled alive is regardless, they're just insects, but I don't know, if you put me in a boiling pot of water, I'm gonna have a preference to move around and hit as just anyone else would.
Well, I feel a good parallel to that point would be the dog festival in China, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually is still going on in Korea next week.
Yeah. Hey, I do just want to say, anyone who boils dogs, fucking die.
Please.
I'm fine with that. Honestly, if you want to attack situation for being culturally ignorant, I don't give a fuck. Because I swear to God, I value my dog's life more than anyone else's. If you boil and consume dogs, fuck off. I don't want you listening to my podcast. I don't give a fuck if that's culturally insensitive.
Absolutely. And I believe that everyone that's currently here can agree.
Yeah, we don't deserve dogs, man.
We don't deserve dogs. And the fact that these people are skinning them alive and boiling them alive because they think it tastes better after having proven Kobe beef being the best cut of meat because the animal that it is being harvested from,
massaged and calmed,
is being treated with the utmost respect and dignity, and they have
the utmost respect and dignity to be slaughtered. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah,
it is funny. I do want to comment, though, with just your these people. I do just want to say these people is anyone who cooks or eats dog.
Yes.
It's yeah. not, we're not lumping everyone
that's
together.
That's broad for anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whether it's part of your culture or whether you just wanted to try it. You understand?
Yes.
I don't care if you don't do dog fights. I don't care. You hurt dogs, fucking, email us with your address. I'll pull it up.
Please.
I don't give a fuck. Absolutely. Okay, so but yeah, right? I mean, they boil dogs alive. You see them yelping for help, right? But this is where, again, my hypocritical moral supremacy just showed, correct?
Yeah.
Like, I just took over and said, fuck anyone that hurts a dog, right? But you go to India and you say, oh, yeah, we just slaughter cows by the billions. Right, they're gonna be like, "Fuck you!" And are they wrong for that? Absolutely not. I am wrong. I am hypocritical because I value dogs because dogs are my companions, but I still consume all other life forms.
That's why we came full circle.
No, we can't. We came full circle, and this is again. And I want to acknowledge my hypocritical moral supremacy.
Yeah. But now I think everybody experiences that in one time.
Absolutely.
Or
now
life.
This does not change my stance on the dog thing.
Absolutely,
absolutely
not.
Never will. What this is though is I think realistically I'm gonna have to, you know, really I can't speak for anybody else here but me myself is I'm gonna have to really look into myself again and force myself to see those videos and force myself to really acknowledge
the heinousness of the horror
we do to animals in this country for consumption, right? And I just want our listeners to know that it's not lost on me how hypocritical I came across. Does not change my stance on dogs, but it does hopefully bring me to that stance for other life forms as well.
And help the listeners to think about, like, when you ingest something, what it really means. And I think that's why this is such a good topic to talk about. And, you know,
it's really interesting because it applies to everything.
And that's why I think the biggest part of this, when I started thinking about it, it's just uncomfortable. It's so much easier to just eat your food, not think about it. And like,
it's delicious too. We can't sit here and say it's not good.
You can't sit here and say you don't enjoy a steak.
Consumerism. Yeah. It just all comes back to the fact that they were able to market it well enough and take that idea of actually killing those animals out of our mind.
I don't think it's necessarily all marketing either.
It was born mostly necessity.
Yeah.
No. I think a lot of it is tradition as well. That was one of the hardest things for me to take that step into vegetarianism. Right?
Like,
I remember you told me about
No. Yeah. My mom's cooking.
Oh yeah.
My mother's cooking. I couldn't eat anymore. She is a hardcore carnivore. Hardcore. Meat, every meat. Right? And you make amazing chicken casseroles, like meatloaf, the steaks, like going to beefsteaks with my dad. Yeah. Like all
I remember you telling
these
me about
very
that.
Like the, that's my life. And then at 18 I said no anymore. I had to give up that tradition and those times. Which, that is the hardest part. It is. It's like, listen, I understand the taste is amazing. The convenience is amazing. That's all amazing. But when you sit here and tell someone don't eat meat anymore, you say, well, what about my mom's this I have every Christmas? What about my mom's this? What about my favorite meal my mom cooks for me on my birthday that's this? You know what I mean? You're asking someone to almost give up a part of their identity.
Yeah.
Cuisine is a part of your culture. It's a part of your personal identity, right?
Or parents' like perception that, oh, I gotta cook another thing.
Oh, dude,
for this guy.
Oh man, my mom wanted to kill me when I was a vegetarian.
Or they'll be like, yo, you can bring your own food, but I'm not changing
exactly.
The menu, you know?
But like, I do have to say, over time, my family did become very accommodating, and I have to thank them for that. And again, honestly, like I definitely broke under just the environmental pressures. You know, it's hard when you sit there because when you grow up with that in your life and the smells and the memories you get and stuff, and then you live with carnivores, you live with people who are cooking chicken, cooking steak, cooking this, that, and the other thing, and you sit there and eat some beans and rice, you're like, I can't, my mouth is still watering and I cannot quench it, right? So it's the environment that really not so much determines, but it has such a heavy impact. And that's what eventually broke me down. and it's something that I have to prepare myself. I have to build myself back up to that that heavy foundation, yeah, that heavy solidarity in my beliefs to take that on again, man. Because it's a lot.
That's an addiction.
It is, dude.
That's an addiction.
It is.
Almost to the T. I was thinking about what you were saying while you were saying it. And it's almost like the habit of smoking. I mean, you and I have been trying for a year.
Years.
Now. You both, before even we started living together, years, we've tried countless times to stop smoking. And it's just the fact that if one of us doesn't stop smoking, or like the environment encourages it, or stress breaks one of us, it's just incredibly habitual to be like, okay, this is now back.
Yeah.
We can now recess
exactly
back to this lifestyle. And I believe it's a lot of that exact same type of mentality when it comes to vegetarianism, because
it's
sacrificing
so
your principles.
It's so hard, dude.
It's, and then you want to be consistent with your thought processes, and you want to be able to make sure that in your heart you believe that what you're saying that is coming out of your mouth cannot be doubted. So when you say dogs need to be treated with the utmost respect and animals need to be cared for appropriately, and then you sit down that night with a double cheeseburger.
Right.
And it is right back to the pack.
Right.
And I would
absolutely.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
You know the old adage about like quitting cigarettes? It's very easy. I've done it many times before.
Yeah.
You
know, oh, it's very easy to quit cigarettes. I've done it hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely, Tom, thank you. That was very clear.
Astute.
It was a lucid point. It was a very lucid point, because that's exactly it, dude.
But I think most of what we can relate to tradition is not necessarily tradition anymore.
The market
it is instilled
there
for it. Addiction.
Yeah.
And the
whether that's your family that taught you, or if you did not have a good family, it was the people that were around you primarily that would do that and conduct that environment. And that is what I come to when I talk about in one of my songs. Like, it's, I think it's funny that the people are just around.
Right.
And that is just your friend group is the addictions that you are comfortable forming. And once you're able to really expand on that and elevate with either your friend group or yourself individually, that really kind of breaks off, like, with the whole being able to stay true to yourself.
Absolutely, man.
It's just either you surround yourself with people that believe what you believe, or you reject everyone and you respect yourself as an individual only.
You know what's interesting too is it's the memories that come with it, right? It's those drunk nights that you end up at McDonald's with your friends. You get a little high on life and you order something, or you binge on something, right? Or like,
or you guys go somewhere nice.
You go to pizza, right? I mean, like, even dairy itself. You want to look into a really fucked up industry. Dairy is fucked up. Dairy products are the product of rape. Like, that's what it is.
Well, no one ever likes to think that, oh, what you're drinking, that milk is for a baby calf to become, like...
We are the only species that drinks out-of-species milk.
Out-of-species
milk.
It's
a learned biological...
better. You know what I mean? To grow your baby. Just like you're nursing on a teat. Like,
but
that's what we're doing.
And back to Tom's stance on addiction. The
chemical.
Yeah, the chemical. So a lot of people...
This
is amazing.
I love this
point. Calves stay with their mother cows because of the milk, right? Now, obviously, cows can't coddle their babies, can't anything like that. They have to make sure they're around. And they do this by having a very specific scent to themselves in their milk. And the milk actually has a chemical in it that is, I could be inaccurate here, but has roughly the same chemical makeup and the same addiction level as morphine.
I thought it was opium.
No, morphine.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is that only for cows? Because it seems like any other mammal, the babies are attached to the mother's milk anyways.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But I think it's more for mammals that are rapid growth, right? Like cows, they come out and like a day they're walking, right? So
that's
it's to maintain that you have to stay with me.
Yeah.
But that morphine effect that it has on the calves, that's so addicting that you can't leave your mother. You're always by your mother because you just are so addicted to it.
Yeah.
That actually has a very similar effect on human beings. And that's why a lot of vegetarians cannot break into veganism, because they cannot give up dairy. They can't walk away from cheese. They
Isn't
can't
the
walk away from...
line between everything? It's like vegetarian is like you don't eat meat. But then like if you actually want a like to stick to your morals specifically and stay incredibly consistent, you need to give up like cheese and milk. And
dude,
like,
you
I can't do that.
The thing is honestly, it's going to become very easy to become vegan probably in the next, well,
yeah, when the market gets there. That's why
I would say in the next like 10 years, veganism is going to be extremely easy. It's going to be wide range. I mean, fuck, Burger King has the Impossible Burger now. You know what I mean? Like, they are starting to cater to those lifestyles. So I think in 10 years, things are going to be very different when it comes to veganism. But where did I start this point?
I'm so sorry, I lost it.
I
would say what Tom's saying about the institutionalized addiction to processed meats, it comes from that the market's not there yet. And eventually, you know, vegans, like, I believe in 10 years, it's going to be, the food's going to be way more accessible.
Absolutely.
Tastes good.
Oh, well, that
thank you. I came back to my point. Veganism does not stop a diet. It doesn't stop a diet. You cannot purchase leather.
Yeah.
You cannot use any products tested on animals. You cannot use any byproducts of animals. Like, it's so much more than diet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's what? I don't eat any animal products, but I purchased leather. What? That's nothing. You're doing nothing.
Yeah.
So that's the real break in I think veganism, because vegetarians were, at least in the realms that I went, they're more lax with that, right? It was more like, I still like, I buy leather and stuff like that, whatever, got it. This, that, and the other thing. But like, veganism is like, you have to do your fucking research. And the thing is it's slowly gathering. It's slowly becoming available. Here are your vegan products. More products, more companies are taking the vegan route.
It's a new niche market that will soon become saturated.
It's
going to
blossom into something.
It's a bubble, but when it pops, it's just going to become incredibly available.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think that, you know, you give it 10, 15 years, being vegan is not going to be
I'd argue 5.
I would, but in just how crazy the world has gotten recently.
I understand.
You know what I mean? I think it's like,
seeing how 2020 shaped up so far.
Some things are taking a back seat right now, and veganism is fucking one of them. You know what I mean? So I would say, I would argue like 10 to 15 years, got it. I'm going to wrap this up. It's going to become very accessible. It's going to be very easy. You're going to have basic handbooks. Here are your brands. Here is everything. And these more brands are going to start going to the faux leather, the faux fur, the faux this, that, and the other thing. And it's going to become much more accessible because it's a slowly growing populace of that mindset, that ideology.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and I think going back to this, like,
got 1 minute wrap quick.
All right. No, all right. So if I'm going to wrap it up, I was going to say, I think me and Dreesy were talking about it, the way you look at the Incan and the Mayans and how they treated animals and people and did torturing and stuff like that. And we say those were savages. But we're talking about veganism being more, you know, more sophisticated. The futures will look back at us and how we treated animals. Like, what
Absolutely.
The fuck were you doing? And the Maine Lobster Festival isn't bad. The only good thing about it was a crate race where they catch fucking lobsters and people made, like, race cars out of them. So there's a race with that. There's a good thing.
Be right back.
Be right back. Be right back.
Baby. Oh, that, I was wrapping
Yugi
up.
Boy, baby. No, howdy.
All right, guys. We are back. I feel we definitely wrapped up, right? I would say we left that on a good note, everybody.
Yeah, I think if anything, people listening to this, the people right now will at least get the picture of what we tried to bring them awareness of, that epiphany that, you know, it's just animal ingestion and hypocrisy. And like I said, my biggest goal, that what I want to try to do with 2020, like I said, is cut back on my meat intake. I don't think I'm going to stop, but You know, if a
book, well, like, who knows where this step could lead to, right?
Exactly.
And, I think a big thing is too is just like when you do that, you also cut down on emissions. You know, making sure that the meat gets from, you know, the Midwest to the Northeast.
Or the methane, less need for those cattle.
Exactly. Absolutely. Just altogether a better idea.
Well, less breeding. Yeah. I have to say, I think that was a really great conversation, Drew. Thank you.
For bringing
those topics to light. I think that was really good. Honestly, I could sit here with you for another 3 hours.
I appreciate the stipend they're giving me to come here from Philadelphia and stay at a hotel, you know.
We actually made him
the hotel is our floor.
No,
piece of shit.
You know, the funniest thing is that, like, a stipend would be we give him money. We actually made him buy us alcohol.
Motherfuckers! We gave you a negative stipend.
You had to pay entry. There was an entry fee. So it was an empty situation.
Tom was like, this bottle comes with a customized print.
Yo, I tricked you into that Taylor Jelly.
That's just awesome.
It's great.
But, so Drew, thank you very much for coming up from Philly. Thank you for being on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Looking forward to immediately playing this all back and hearing how it went. That's probably my favorite part of doing the podcast.
Hell yeah.
I hope you know that you're welcome anytime. That was really good.
Each hotel room comes with an 84-inch TV, so I'm definitely staying here again.
Absolutely, bro, absolutely. You just have to share a bed with the thickness that is Mark.
Mark.
Yeah, we established that without telling Mark that Drew is...
Yeah, I called him. Both the other two were at work. I called Mark. I'm like, Mark, 30 minutes Mark, away. He's
you
like,
can have
what?
A say when you pay rent.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. We threw shade at Drew. We're gonna throw shade at you. I told Tom I fucking hate his guts, so no one's
safe
here.
Dude, we cheered over how much we hated.
That's true, man. Because that's true friendship.
That is true friendship.
So no matter how much I hate you, I still want to see you succeed.
Exactly.
You just can't do better than me.
That's all it is. That's all it is. That is friendship.
Absolutely. So, Drew, honestly, thank you. I'm going to give you a second to say farewell in a second. Dreesy, I would also like to thank you for being here. Again, always a pleasure. I hope you know that when we go to Bloomfield, I'm going to definitely want you back on the podcast even there. You're not getting a key to that house, though.
Sure?
No key?
No key. Okay. I'll tell you what, though. You can just go, like, crouch next to the garage if you're feeling like you want to come over and no one's home.
He said, hello.
We'll have a garbage can just for you to pop yourself in.
It'll be awesome, man. Fuck it.
Mark, thank you for being the fact checker, man.
I was demoted, but I was a fact checker for half the month.
Yeah, well, now you're IT and gave you something to work towards.
You've been given a non-paid internship.
Honestly, IT sounds
better than fact checker.
That's where you're wrong. ITs don't get laid. ITs don't get laid. Fact checkers get laid.
Is that true?
I don't know. You were the fact checker. I guess you're going to have to work back up to it and check. I think you're going to have to work back up to that and get back to me.
Okay, guys.
Work towards your promotion. You have to work your way up to where I respect your word. Okay? Tom, executive producer. Oh, come on. Look at that meme. Thinks I don't trust him.
Dude, Mark can hate something and he's just incredibly
close. I trust Mark as much as he is thick.
Which is a lot.
That's a stupid amount of trust. That's dummy trust. Exactly. Yeah, you beat me to it. Tom, thanks for being my executive producer. So I'm going to say my farewell, give these guys a chance. Tom, a.k.a. Thom, a.k.a. Pokey Thom,
for the brand.
Is going to do for the brand. Going to do his song of the day. So thank you guys for tuning in to my three listeners. When we move to Bloomfield, we're going to try to be a little more consistent. We're going to shoot for... I would say at least 2 podcasts a month. We have been a little inconsistent, but with the world on fire, I hope you all understand. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please check back for updates and new episodes. This was Zitch. Hope you enjoyed the situation. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, it was good to be here. Go out and vote. There is no such thing as no voting. Either vote by voting or give some ass.
Not voting is no voting.
What?
No voting is no voting.
No such thing.
Why you bring this up? Dude, go shut your mouth.
Let the man finish. If you don't vote, say whoever you disagree with in that hardcore wing of both parties, You're doubling their vote because you're not voting.
I feel like we had a discussion not to bring politics in, and then here you came. Hey, here's my last
shameless
two
politics.
No,
nailed
just go
it.
Vote.
They
just
can't
vote.
Even hit me anymore. It's over.
Just
psych,
vote.
You thought.
Just vote.
All right. Yeah, I vote for you to just carry on past the politics.
I vote we move on.
The song of the day is Eight Man by the Kinks.
You're...
That's it.
Nah, everyone wants to say goodbye.
I'm Dreesy. Later.
Yours. No, I just wanted to scream that so it didn't seem like I was the one that had to talk last.
Well, now you're the one that talked.
Yeah. Eight Man, the Kinks. Play it.